Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at just verse 15 today. You wanted to have me review these ideas on money one more time. It does go to what we're talking about today, though. I think it helps us with our thoughts on what we do with our resources. A broader passage on giving. It's interesting to me, it seems, there are a lot of things you can infer from the scriptures. Proverbs talk much of the idea of money, and there are a few other places. Jesus taught an awful lot on money, usually illustratively. And I think that's interesting, isn't it? That as the Savior spoke on issues of spiritual issues, of being right with God, all of those different kinds of things, he often pointed to our use of money. Isn't that interesting? It's something we can identify and relate to, and Jesus taught often. But 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 may be one of the most specific passages on money in the Bible. And it's such an it's treated so well in such an extended passage there that I think we need to pay some good attention to it. There was a collection for the needs of the church in Jerusalem that they were taking up. And so Paul was asking them to fulfill their promise, giving them an opportunity to do what was right. When we talked about the world running on money, he was giving them an opportunity to do what was right, to use their finances rightly, to lay up treasure in heaven, and to, he taught us the sower principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I hope that is helpful for you as we looked at that. It's a very simple passage, isn't it? Something we should very much understand in Iowa. If you sow a little, you reap a little. And I know the Lord has been using that in my life this week. And certainly it is in a context of finances, isn't it? Where if you sow a little, you reap a little. In other words, and Jesus told us, lay up treasures in heaven. That's one way to say it. You know, if you're not sowing spiritual things, you're not sowing towards a reward in heaven, you're not going to reap as much here and there. But it's certainly as I shared just briefly last week, in the area of evangelism, there's a lament often, well, we don't see a lot of people coming to Christ. We don't see this, we don't see that in our world. And that's okay to lament those things. But I wonder, hopefully that becomes personal for you. I haven't led an awful lot of people to Christ. Okay, how much are you sowing? That's kind of the first question, isn't it? Because sow a little, reap little, right? I've shared the gospel with one person in 20 years, and that woman just wouldn't trust Christ, right? You know, well, okay, why don't you try a couple hundred more? And it can be discouraging. I remember one time in our lives when the kids were little tiny and Taylor was 2 years old holding the microphone, we would go out and play at nursing homes. We had 10 nursing homes. We would do a circuit. And I would share the gospel in a public, you know, preaching format. And then we would talk, we'd play a music program, share the gospel. We would all go and interact with the residents of the nursing home. And an evangelist told me, well, you're not going to grow your church that way. That broke my heart. What a bad focus. But I ordered bulk tracts. You can get those things dirt cheap. I had 3,000 I ordered, 3,000. I mean, you want it to grow, you want to pray for rain, you better start planting. So I thought 3,000 is a good place to start. We handed out 3,000 tracts over the course of about a year, year and a half, and one man responded out of 3,000. What if I would have just handed out one gospel tract and talked to one person? I doubt if it would have been him, right? So a little, reap a little. Sow a little, reap a little. Don't let it discourage you. Get the word out. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know how many people responded, do I? I don't. I only know one that talked to me. And that dude called. He had the nursing home staff call. Who was that dude? You find out. Get him here. I need to talk to him. All right. That was a real response. The dude was dying. God got his attention. And so I went in and talked with him, shared with the gospel with him. He trusted Christ and died. That's basically what happened. It was wonderful to be part of that. Sow a little, reap a little. It's a great principle for all of life. Farmers plant as much. A good farmer plants as much as their field can handle. And that's how giving works in God's economy. Sow a little, reap a little. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And pretty simple. Each one must give. We talked about that. God loves a cheerful giver. So we're not hopefully giving out of compulsion because we want people to see or whatever, but just because we want to please God. And it is, of course, also He's a provider. And God is able to provide, and it's a stewardship. He who supplies seed to the sower. One of the things as we talk about money, and it becomes very evident in 9:15 that we're going to talk about today. It's weird. It's weird as a human because stewardship is not something that's really that easy to completely grasp. But let's be honest. When you look in your wallet, do you really see God's money? That's your money. Let's be honest, right? You earned it. It's yours. But the truth of the matter is that is not your money. It's not yours. Nothing here belongs to any of us. We have earned nothing. We deserve nothing. It all belongs to God. And so when we're giving, we're just giving something that doesn't even really belong to us, aren't we? We're giving something that belongs to God, and He wants us to. God who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food. The sower, that picture I had up there, he didn't invent that seed and manufacture that seed from nothing, did he? No, he had to get that seed from somewhere. God ultimately provided that seed to the sower. And so as we sow, we're just being good stewards and using God's means, His material things, the way that He wants us to. There is a reward for faithfulness. Wow. For faithfulness. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. God rewards. He's a rewarding God. As we're going to see today, He's a giving God. And he does that so that you can give more, so that you can be generous in verse 11, so that you can be generous in every way. As we give, as we sow, we should expect a harvest of righteousness. And so sowing more makes more sense. As I said last week, for many of you, the message might just be keep up the good work. God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love you have shown in His name, serving the saints as you still do. I would encourage you to memorize that verse. I really would. Think about that every day. Yeah, I don't want to make a giving passage into a message on evangelism, but when you get discouraged in sharing your faith with people because you don't see what you want to see, this is something I have to remind myself of. It's not about me. It's not about me or what I'm doing or seeing a reward. And I know that there is a reward. God is going to give me what He wants to give me in His time when He does. Possibly that's heaven. Now, Jason Nightingale, he used to say, you pastors have an awesome retirement plan. And, okay, you say, but you have to die to get it. All right, sign me up. That's really true a lot of times, isn't it? And how foolish is it that we think that that's a ripoff? I mean, how long am I going to live here? Right? Probably not 100 years. I hope not. Maybe 80 years. Gil Christopher told Gary, your whole body falls apart when you turn 80. And I know that just blessed his heart. It's what happens, isn't it? That's what Jesus taught us. Lay up treasure in heaven. That's good that we reap in eternity, not here. How long can I enjoy something that I reap here? God is not unjust. He's not overlooking the sowing that you've done, but He is going to bless you, and He sees, and we can trust that God knows what is best. Today, God's amazing gift. Read along with me. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. That's all we're going to focus on today. That at the end of this passage on giving, we have all of these issues with this church in Corinth, all of these things that are going on, all these ways that they need to grow, and then this encouragement to follow through on their pledge. We have Paul with really this sort of just spirit-filled, spirit-led exaltation, this bold statement. He probably yelled it while he was writing it. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Let's pray together. Lord our God, thank you so much for this wonderful passage and this opportunity to just think specifically, hopefully deeply, introspectively on your nature as an, or better, the giver. And you are the giver of all good things. You're an amazing giver. Inexpressible, the gift that you have given us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to certainly understand, but in a personal way, apprehend the truths of this simple verse today. And so that we can be more pleasing in your sight, better Christians, better followers, representatives of you. And we're looking forward to how you're going to use this time in your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, of course, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God is a giver. Pretty simple, easy, right? You know, you think about how so many times in the scriptures we have these principles and they're just very simple. Well, why don't we grasp? Why don't we run with it? Why don't we really understand it and make part of our life? I was talking with someone this morning, encouraged me that the book that we're doing in ABF, instead of saying a hole in our holiness, it should just be one sheet of paper that says, hey, be good, right? Do what's right. Don't sin. Sometimes things are very simple, very easy to understand that God is a giver. God is a giver. If we are honest with ourselves, and we have to be, that's one of the problems with our world, is we're just not honest with ourselves. Who created anything in this world? Who created anything? Rabbi Zacharias once was speaking with an atheist, I remember. And I don't remember if it was an illustration or if it was a challenge that Rabbi Zacharias made to this man. I can't remember because it's been a while since I heard it. But it was a guy who said, science has proven that we don't need God because we can do anything that God does. Okay, now, that's bogus, right? And even in the area of knowing, we know nothing. We know nothing about this universe. It's just crazy. And just look at human history where, well, this is the smallest particle. This is the smallest. This is the smallest. Now we don't even know. We're just theorizing. It keeps going smaller and smaller. Why would God do that? He wants us to show our limits. Oh, the universe is this big. Oops, bigger telescope. It's this big now. Right? We know nothing. But this guy said that. We don't need God, which is interesting. I'm sure God really cares whether or not we need him. Right? We don't need God, this guy said. And so, okay, well, God created man. So why don't you do that? Just start there. Create man. And so the guy said, okay, so he brings in a wheelbarrow of dirt. And God says, whoa, 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 get your own dirt. Right? Get your own dirt. Let's be honest. We haven't created anything. We've never done anything. We've never made anything. Everything that we have, everything that we experience here comes as a gift. It's completely a gift. The fact that you have breath in your lungs today, the fact that this world makes light and plants grow and there's food, the fact that you have safety and security. Can you imagine if just, and this is one of the things that's terrifying about the tribulation period, can you imagine if God simply took the restraining power of the Holy Spirit off of the hearts of mankind in this world, what life would be like? It would be horror. We don't know what a horror movie is. It would be horror to see mankind living out fully the sinful desires of their hearts with one another. Everything we have is a gift. So, of course, God is the giver. He is a giver. It is his nature to be a giver. He has distributed freely. This is God's character. He's just giving, 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 giving. He has given to the poor. That's a good reminder, isn't it? He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's God's character. He provides for those that don't have. He makes sure that his people are in part of that ministry to give to the poor. God is a giver, and he wants us, of course, to mimic and to mirror that type of character. Everything we have is a gift from God, and hear this today. God is generous. Right? Think about your life. I mean, now, if we were in Central Africa or whatever or something, maybe I could give you a pass and say, come on, it's hard here, right? You live in America. You live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. All right? God is generous. Think about all that you've been given and all that you've been blessed with. And here's a few things. God made this world for us to enjoy. He made it a beautiful place. He sends us rain, gives us food, gives us nice homes. He gives us work to do. Even your very life is a gift from God. He gave you life. He made you. He gave your life purpose and meaning instead of just the empty nothingness of living for yourself that the world is for. He got involved in your life and gave you purpose and meaning. He gave us the Bible so that we can know him. And he gave us his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The ultimate gift. He gave himself for you. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And that's the length of the generosity of God, that he empties himself out for you, becomes poor, destitute. So why? Just to enrich you. That is an amazing example, isn't it? When you think about it. And that's what we're called to follow. Wow. To completely empty yourself and to become in poverty so that another person by your poverty could be wealthy. And that is humbling and challenging, isn't it? Isn't it? Because if there's a poor person there, it's possible that out of my abundance, I'm willing to enter into their story and help them, right? But am I really willing to be impoverished to make them rich, right? Not just to meet their needs. Wow, that is amazing. That's God's character. To say God is a giver, boy, it's just hollow, isn't it? It follows short. God is the giver. And he's the ultimate example. It's amazing to think about. Because of Jesus, God gave us new life by grace, by the gift of God, by grace, by undeserved favor. You have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. God gave his Holy Spirit. I tell you the truth, it's your advantage. I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit through Christ. He gave us his church so that we could have a family on earth. One of the people that Lori and I met this year, and God used us to help her understand how to be right with him, wonderful to work with this person, has a rough family background. And as we were talking, I shared with her, you know what I think I see in your story? That God has provided a surrogate family for you in Christ. I see God surrounding you with people that love you, people to be a father to you, people to be a mother to you, people to be a friend to you, to provide for you what your family has never provided. That's what God has done. Wow. Well, that's what God has given us. He's given us his church, the body of Christ, to help, to encourage us, to build one another up, for fellowship, to be that family to us that some of us don't have or haven't had. He's given us the church. He's given us the gift of people. God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, and teachers. Miracles, gift of healing, helping, administrating all kinds of tongues. He's given us people to carry out his redemptive purpose in this world and in this land. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given people, he's empowered people with these gifts to minister and to help you and to provide for you what you don't have. So everything we have is a gift from God. And just quick aside, God has given us these gifts to serve and minister. And think about that. It's very interesting. So God has, in giving, God has blessed us to be generous in every way, right? But God has given us spiritual gifts. If you have a spiritual gift, you do if you're in Christ, by the way. If you do and you're not using it, the body suffers. The body suffers. And so He's enriched you to be generous. Use your gift. Let us have gifts varying according to the gift of God. Let us use them, right? And so sometimes I feel like this, I'll be honest. Sometimes I feel like I'm part of a body of 17 arms, okay? Someone in here besides me is the mouth, which maybe you think my mouth is big enough. And someone in here is the legs. We need you. Let God stretch you. Let God stretch you, okay? A body of 17 arms, what would that look like? Right? It's not good. God is a giver. Everything we have is a gift from God. God is a grace giver. What God gives, we don't deserve. That is the nature of a gift. So when you say God is a giver, we're not saying that God is a payer. That I think is confusing for people. We live in a world that operates off of pay or wages. So hear this, we do that far too often as people. Maybe that happens in your family. I know we talked to a person that got a gift from someone this year, and the person said to them, "Here you go, here's your gift, you owe me." That wasn't the gift at that point, was it? Right? You owe me. That was payment or a loan maybe or whatever, but it wasn't a gift. What God does is He gives us graciously. He gives to us. We do not deserve it. There's nothing that we have that we deserve. We didn't earn anything. Again, part of the problem of humanity. We live in this world where everyone thinks that everything is owed to them. Call it entitlement or whatever. And you live that arrogant heart out of entitlement, and it hardens you. It does. And then you believe everybody owes you for literally everything all the time. You're owed nothing. God owes you nothing. But He gives anyway. You don't earn anything from Him. He gives anyway. He's a gracious grace giver. God shows His love for us. And think about that. When God is a grace giver, what He's doing is demonstrating love. He's demonstrating affectionate care. God shows His love that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That verse, that passage goes on to say that we were enemies of God, that we were foul to Him. And then He gets involved with us and He gives anyway, and He graciously showers us with good. God is a grace giver. Not something that we have somehow deserved. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, that bad off, even while we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The free gift of God, undeserved favor, is what God gives. Amazing. It's not that we deserve what we have. God is gracious. And He gives, of course, like we said, out of love. He gives out of love. He gives what we need. He gives out of love. He gives what we need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are the things He's talking about? It's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is covering many topics there in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus did not read J. Adams' book, Preaching with a Purpose. You're only supposed to have one topic. And I think Jesus might have known a little better. But He covers many topics there. And He says, why do you worry about what you wear, what you eat? And He gives us some illustrations from creation there. He says, your heavenly Father knows you need those. The Gentiles seek those things. He's talking about our daily needs. Your Father knows you need those things. A great conversation to have with yourself when you're anxious. How many meals have you missed? There's some empirical evidence that not many of us have not missed many meals. Amen? Right? We're carrying around the excess baggage of a little too many meals, some of us are. Okay? Has God provided for you? Why do you worry? Jesus' words, oh, you of little faith. See, the character of God intersects our world and says, God is a giver. You'll be okay. Right? God is a giver. You'll be all right. He's got you. He's providing for you. And Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. That's your responsibility. All the things you need will be provided. All the things you need. Not everything you want. Some of the things you want, you shouldn't have. All the things you need will be provided. And he gives us what we need most, which is the most important. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestined, he chose ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus is always working in our lives to give us what we need most. And what we need most every day of our lives is to be like Christ. Jesus is always working in our lives to give us what we need most. And what we need most is to be like Christ. The most important thing God is giving us. He knows what we need and we don't. So God is a giver. Very, very obvious. And he gave this the ultimate gift. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. You can open up your copy of the scriptures and just kind of look in there and kind of see where the context is and remember what we've been talking about. There, and if you're confused about that simple verse, that's fine. And there has been a lot of people with various ideas of what the inexpressible gift is. What is the inexpressible gift? God giving us everything. You know, there's any innumerable things that he could say. But I believe the only inexpressible gift that God has given us is his son. He has given us Christ. And I believe really that's what Paul is saying. It's an explanative at the end of this. He's saying all these things about God being a giver and us. You should follow through on the gift and come on, you know, get on God's program. Get to sowing. He supplies the seed. He's going to provide for you. And he gets to the end. He's just like, you know what? Let's talk about the greatest gift ever. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift that he gave his only son, is what Paul had in mind there. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate gift. And he gave Jesus for us, certainly, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father. Jesus stood condemned in our place, took our penalty, and died for us. Really, if you think about it, in one sense, I guess, you know, I don't want to be too dogmatic, but in one sense, it's the only gift that really matters, ultimately. I mean, there are millions, I don't know, maybe billions of people who have lived on this world and experienced all the rich blessings of God, right? Air, food, enjoyable life, maybe even wealth and prosperity, whatever, and then landed themselves in hell by rejecting the Son of God or just doing their own thing or whatever, right? They've experienced the good gifts of God, but they never availed themselves of the inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ. It's the only gift that really ultimately matters. If you have everything in this world, Jesus says, and you lose your soul, what have you gained? What are you going to pay for your soul? Jesus Christ is the ultimate gift who gave himself for us. He died in our place. And then not just his death as well. Actually, he gave us Jesus himself. Jesus came to restore what was broken by sin. And that's what he's talking about. Oh, I don't have that one. Come back up. It's supposed to be 2 Corinthians 9:15 again. Jesus came to restore what had been broken. And God created, as his character is, to be a gracious giver. He created a wonderful world for us to enjoy, a perfect paradise with everything we would need. No harm, no sickness, no death. We would experience bliss and joy and fellowship with him. And Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day. And we were made to have that kind of relationship. But Adam and Eve broke the one commandment. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree, you'll surely die. And by that, by that disobedience, sin entered the world. And death with it. That death, having the three different forms, and one the ultimate death, in landing in hell, but that first part of being having broken fellowship with God, separation from God. God is holy. He can't take sin in his place. And so we have no fellowship with God. In that sense, we don't have God anymore. We don't. We don't have a relationship with him. Well, Jesus came not just to save us from hell, that's important, but to restore us to a right relationship with God, real fellowship, a real relationship with him. And that is the inexpressible gift, the most wonderful thing of all, giving him very self to us. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. It's a gift that will not go away. God is a giver. So understanding God's character then, this might be the point where we start to think about God's character and hopefully allow God to remind us in our daily struggle of who God is. And let that character of God transform the way we view and act in this life. God's character. God is a giver. He's a giving God. Trust him. That's the first one. Trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who would come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Trust him. That's your primary job in this world. Did you know that? To trust God. To trust God. We were made to know God and to lead other people to know God. Trust him. Place your trust in him. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. He's not here walking with us. Trust him. Lean on him. Lead others to do the same, to know God through Christ, to trust him. God has proven his character that he is a gracious giver, so trust him. He will provide. This is the next passage after that. Seek ye first. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? I never see a hand go up on that one when I read it, right? I do that. My son wants breakfast. I throw a rock at him. Right? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to ask him? Have you ever had a time in your life where the chips were down and all you could think about was how bad it was? How bad it was going to turn out. And there's no way that this can work out for good. How am I ever going to even eat? Where am I going to live? What's going to happen to me? And you know what you're saying in that moment? I'm doubting God's proven character that he provides, that he's a giver, that he's going to get me through this. That's a time to remember the character of God. How many meals have you skipped? How many times has he let you down? He's a giver. He provides. He knows how to give good gifts. And hear this, remember, we'll come back to this again here in a minute, but he is always providing what you need most. That's why it feels like that sometimes. Sometimes it feels like God has abandoned me. Well, you're off. He is providing what you need most at that time. He has said you don't need what you think you need. He's providing something else. He's making you like Christ. God is a giver. He's a blesser, isn't he? God is able, notice this, all the alls in here. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And as it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. It is a faith issue in life. Understand God's character. He gives. He's trustworthy. He's proven his character. He blesses. Nothing can separate you from God. That's important, isn't it? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Okay? What can separate you from the love of God? He goes on and on. Think about that. In your daily life, when it just feels like God's not going to provide. I wonder how often, I've had this conversation with people, in fact, actually. Well, I understand God's going to give me what I need, but I'm afraid he's not going to give me what I want. Don't you think that might be the case sometimes? Sometimes God is providing what we need, but we're worried that he's not going to give us what we want. If God gave you the inexpressible gift of Christ, would he not also freely give you a bacon sandwich? Right? I mean, think about how ludicrous our minds get, right? Oh, God's not going to provide for me. He gave you his son. He's proven his character. He's proven his love for you. He's proven his care for you. Trust him. Trust him. Trust that he knows what he's doing. Trust that he's up to something good in your life. Trust that maybe his plan is different than your plan, and it's a good plan. He knows what he's doing. Trust him. Thank God. This is why faith is so important, because by faith we learn to depend on God as he provides grace for each day. We learn to depend on God. I like to say, I don't know about you, but I can tell you my story, but I think I do know about you. We're the same. When I can do it, I do it. When I can do it, pretty soon I don't need God. I start plowing through my day and I get it done. I'm a worker. I'll finish it. I'll fix it. God wants to knock me back a step and say, you need to depend on me. Stop trying to get everything done for yourself. Faith is so important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sometimes the reality of our unable to provide for ourselves smashes our delusions of self-sufficiency. And we have to come back to the character of God and say, okay, I know I'm not self-sufficient. I've received everything from you. I will receive more from you. I'm going to trust you to provide for me. Thanks be to God for his indescribable, inexpressible gift. What do we do daily? Thank God for his gift. Daily thank God for Christ. That goes without saying. But I would challenge us every day in every area of your life, thank God. When you get up, when you do have something to eat in the morning, thank the Lord. There's been this weird, it's weird to me because of my context. I'm not saying people are weird, whatever, I don't care. I don't even know all the people that I'd be commenting on. But it's weird to me. There's been in the last 10 years, I've read numerous articles of people saying, don't look like you're praying when you go out to eat. It makes people uncomfortable. That's bizarre to me. You can't thank the living God for your food in a public place because someone might be uncomfortable. I want them to be uncomfortable at that point. I'll ask the waitress, is there anything I can pray for you for about before that? Thank God every day for everything that you have. I hope that you get up with a thankful heart. I hope that you're going through your day saying, thank you, God, that you worked in my behalf. Thank you, God, that you're providing this. Thank you, God, that you're working my life. Thank you, God, that you're giving me what I need most and I can trust you. Thank you for your immutable character that I have something to hang my hopes on in this hopeless and lost world, that I have a future and a hope that is set in stone, that I have nothing to fear in this world. Thank you that as flawed and as nasty as I am, that you continue to press me forward in your kingdom and use me. Thank you, God, every day, all the time. I hope that's what you're doing. Thank God for his inexpressible gift. Accept a gift with a thankful heart. Learn to do that. It was almost comical to me this year. One of the things I had to learn early in ministry was to accept a gift. Being a doer and a worker and everything, I always provide. I don't get things given to me, right? But when you're in ministry, people give you stuff all the time, sometimes amazingly gracious things. And I've had to turn a few down because I was just like, wow, that's over the top. But Lori and I were meeting Martin in Pensacola, and I said, you know what, this would be a blessing to Martin. I don't want to eat a hamburger. We're going to some hamburger place. Let's take Martin. Let's go out for steak, and let's buy. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. So I texted Martin. We had never met him. I said, Martin, we don't want to go for a burger. We want to meet at Longhorn. We'll buy. And he said, no, you don't have to, And I told him, I was offended. And I said to Lori, Martin has to learn how to be a grace, how to graciously accept a gift. What's wrong with Martin? Right? He needs to learn how to graciously accept a gift. And we got there, and I started to get on my podium, and I was going to tell Martin how it was. And he said, no, my wife and I prayed about it, and we wanted to buy. And I was just like, and it just struck me, I was like, oh, maybe I need to learn how to graciously accept a gift. And I just confessed that. It's like, yeah, you know what, Martin, I was just doing what I thought you needed to do. And he said, well, it's kind of neat when God's people just want to be a blessing to each other. And you fight over who's going to pay, right? And it was neat. We got to witness to the waiter for an extended period of time. It was really fun. But accept a gift with thanksgiving. Accept a gift. There are things that God has provided for you that you cannot provide for yourself. Accept them. Thank Him. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's a wonderful lesson to learn. And sometimes in life, you know, I wonder, because of the way our culture works, sometimes, oh, no, I don't need that. No, no, no. Maybe that is offensive. Maybe sometimes you should just say, thank you. You've been a great blessing to me. If you don't need it, pass it on to somebody else, right? Be a blessing to somebody else. Make much of the gift and the giver. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Most of the time, we should only make much of the giver, right? But this time, God in Christ. Make much of the gift of Christ. Make much of the giver. Glory, glory in what God has done. Give glory to God. Make much of Him for this inexpressible gift. You see, this is kind of what's going on in 9:13. They, because they received the gift, made much of God. And because of your confession, they saw that, and they made much of the gift and the giver. In our world, we live in this world. I'm trying to wrap it up somewhat quickly. We have a few verses to look at. But in our world, we have this world that makes much of the gift, the thing, right? And if it's a created thing, it's called idolatry. The gift should always point us back to the giver. Thanks be to God is the point. Thanks be to God. Live with that kind of attitude. God provided. The gift isn't the issue. It's God. Live for Him. One of the reasons, I'll just go over this very quickly because it's not really the thrust of what we're talking about, but it's very much involved. Live for Him. If God has given us an inexpressible gift, why? He gave us Himself to purify for Himself a people. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why? I live for Him. I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. The love of Christ, the fact of God's character, who He is, what He has done, it literally controls me. It directs me. It controls me. Why? He died for all. We all died. We live for Him. So because of God's character, live for Him. Because of His gift, live for Christ. And then, of course, lastly, give. Mimic God's character. Be a giver. I don't know that I can prove this, but I believe that I have the heart of the Lord in this. He wants our heart. He wants us to be gracious givers. He wants us to stretch ourselves, and He wants us to mimic His character. I don't think God expects you to give exactly the way He has given, because He gave to the point of poverty to make you rich. But that is His example, right? That is His example. And so we need to grow in this area, believers. We need to grow in our view of money to see that God, if God became impoverished to make us wealthy, maybe I can become a little less wealthy to make someone a little less impoverished. Amen? That's an area that we can grow in to be better givers. There's certainly plenty of needs in this world. Jesus said you're always going to have the poor. Very true, isn't it? You're always going to have the poor. But let's grow in being givers. As I said earlier, many of you are doing well. Keep it up. But it's something for us to chew on and think about and grow in. Let's pray together. God, thank You so much for Your wonderful gift of Christ. And the stunning reality that You, holy, fully God in the glories of heaven, gave that away, emptied yourself, and came to live in our mess. Went more than that, but let these feeble, sinful, evil people treat you so terribly, even to nail you on the cross for the very sins of the people that were doing the wickedness. Your example to us is stunning and humbling, God. Help us with this area of thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. We thank you corporately, God, for your inexpressible gift and really every gift you have given us. You are an amazing giver, a wonderful God. It is such a privilege to know you and such a joy to be a receiver of the various gracious blessings that you shower on us. Help us today to live out the truths of your word in our daily lives, and help us to see where to connect with the people around us, to be good sowers because we trust you, we know you'll provide, and to live the way you'd have us. In Jesus' name, amen.